Support comes from Clipper Vacations, offering getaways on the Clipper Fast Ferry to Victoria, B.C. Clipper Ferry and hotel packages from $250 per person. Enjoy historic charm, afternoon tea, and more. Terms and conditions apply. Details and booking at clippervacations.com.
Hey, good morning. It's Paige Browning. It's Friday. This is Seattle Now. This week, our personal data is in the hands of a lot of companies. Two Washington lawmakers reached across the aisle to propose national data security laws. Our furry friends can rejoice. Five new dog parks are coming to Seattle. And we take a crack at naming Washington State University's newest apple. And you can too. Author Jody Ann Bury and editor of The Needling, Lex Vaughn, are here to break down the week. But first, let's get you caught up. Seattle's getting a brand new five-story supportive housing facility today. It's operated by Chief Seattle Club, making this the fourth permanent housing facility that the club has opened. This new location is in Lake City and will house 120 people. Molbax is coming back to life just about 2 months after holding a going-out-of-business sale. But it won't be the same garden store that Woodinville has had for nearly 70 years. The owners say they're forming a community hub instead that hosts classes, pop-up garden shops, and festivals. And just in time for some springy weather, Be'er Sheva Park reopens this Saturday in Rainier Beach after a bunch of improvements. It's one of Seattle's pesticide-free parks and boasts stunning views of the lake and the Cascades. And the Green Lake Boathouse grand opening is Sunday. This is a huge facility that will host rowing and paddling clubs, classes, and will have Seattle's first public adaptive rowing program for people with disabilities. That's it for now. Make sure to come back tonight for evening headlines. It's Friday again. Hope you're in for a relaxing weekend. Jody Ann Bury is here. She's an author and speaker. So good to have you back, Jody Ann.
So good to be back.
And Lex Vaughn is here. She's the editor-in-chief of The Needling. How's it going, Lex?
Good. Good to be back here.
All right. Before we dive in, solar eclipse fever took over the country this week. Mm-hmm. In Seattle, it was too overcast to actually see the moon past the sun. KUOW's Hans Twight actually got a great photo of the eclipse happening in Seattle. Just a big blob of gray, right? Yeah. The Puget Sound region doesn't really get to experience that many astral phenomena. Northern lights, meteor showers, eclipses covered by clouds. So I want us to come up with something to help us feel a little bit less left out. What is something special we can do here?
I think we have special things. I will say, not before I came to Seattle, I didn't know what a solstice was. I didn't know when it was. I didn't know what you were supposed to do with it. And so I love the solstice vibes here. I love the summer solstice. I go every year in Fremont. I've never participated, but I enjoy viewing the naked bike rides that happen.
That's true. We've got that. Why have an eclipse when you have a naked bike ride in Fremont once a year?
Exactly.
Your own eclipse.
Exactly. So I think we should just go ham on the solstice parade. Let's just do it.
I like it.
And then when it comes to stuff in the air, that's unique to Seattle. I mean, we do have Seafair, Blue Angels. I think we have the best Blue Angel show at anywhere. Because, I mean, it's just so crazy that they whip around, like, the Space Needle. It's unreal. Every year, I'm like, this is got to be the last year they do that. That's insane. This is insane. And then when it comes to just, like, you know, the peekaboo eclipse kind of thing, you know, we have the mountain.
We have the mountain. And sometimes it's out.
And, yeah. And we're always going to be way more excited about that.
You know what?
Freaking eclipse.
You're absolutely right. And we get that every day of the year, at least every day that it's not cloudy.
It's drama every day.
It is. Is Rainier out?
We at least got to see some social media photos from people that did get a view of the eclipse. But if you want another chance, the next total solar eclipse in North America is in 2044. Mm. So what comes first, the next eclipse or Ballard light rail?
I believe in Seattle. I'm voting for the light rail.
Okay. 2044 feels like a very long time away. Well, light rail, according to Sound Transit, drum roll please, is supposed to get here
2039 to Ballard. We got this. All right, you two. Big story of the week. Politics can be pretty divisive, but there's one thing that Washington's Democrats and Republicans are coming together to combat. Big tech, tracking and sharing our data. Enter the American Privacy Rights Act. This proposal is the brainchild of Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell and Spokane's Republican Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers. They say that their new idea would be a historic piece of legislation that would give every American the right to online privacy. I'll get to what they propose in a bit. But first, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that our personal data, mine, Jody Ann's, Lex's, is probably in the hands of, I don't know, hundreds of companies that we don't want it to be. Is that a fair price to pay to use the internet?
No. But I mean, I think part of the mistake we've made over the years is like, you know, I don't know if there's any way to pull this back and really regulate it more fairly for all of us. But, you know, the internet was just this big, open, exciting thing that we just let go in a bunch of different directions. And it was exciting.
Yeah.
But we did not really regulate it, you know, well enough. And so it's kind of a Wild West. Our data is out there. Police can get access to our DMs anytime they want. If you don't know that, now you know.
That's a scary thought.
Our social media accounts, even though they feel personal, are actually very not protected. Like all kinds of data we're putting out there. I had a conversation with my dad once on like, you know, Google's like video app, whatever it is.
Okay, yeah.
I talked about guns in like for a minute.
Okay.
And for like a week, I had advertisements about gun holsters.
No kidding.
This was a private conversation with my dad. I didn't do any Google search about guns after that, but it heard that conversation.
Personalized ads for you, Lex.
Yeah, I'm like,
for your next gun holster.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jody Ann?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we're seeing that wild, wild west and kind of bias that technology or technological advances will always be good and do good. We're seeing that with AI right now, right?
They're
just kind of, oh, let's try this.
We really need to get ahead of that. Like, we need to hold the line on regulating how that's used.
Yes, and I think what's interesting is, you know, who is the we, right? I didn't do this. I'm not a part of this, right? And so I think that the we, though, is maybe, you know, years ago, like, well, they already have our data. They already have our photos. Well, you know, we already have this and this kind of sense making of it's already out there. If you're not a criminal or if you're not doing anything,
like it's
wrong,
over.
Like,
you've kind of just a feeling that you've given up. Okay, I could try to protect my data, but it's already there. It's already out there.
It's already out there, and I just
they're already listening to our Google Meet conversations.
Exactly. I don't believe in that. You know, institutions are not natural, right? They're not natural occurrences. They're entities that are created by people. They are constrained or not by other people through legislation. Mm-hmm. And I just do not think that we should say, well, you know, it is what it is. It's too late. You know, what's the saying? Toothpaste is already out of the tube. I just don't believe in that. And so I would love to see this actually mean something potentially. And I would love our consciousness around privacy to maybe go the way of smoking, right? Where just our cultural understanding of it is just so different. Or even seatbelts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our default approach to it is like, put on your seatbelt. Smoking is bad. Data privacy is important.
Okay. Yeah, and I have some details about what they're proposing. Currently, data privacy laws only exist on a state-by-state basis, and Washington does have some pretty decent privacy laws compared to the rest of the nation. But Cantwell and McMorris Rogers want there to be a national framework. Who would have thought? So their act would allow online users to opt out of targeted ads, just like you were getting for gun holsters.
So, not even the right audience.
And just like I get, you know, and just like I get for, you know, baby items when I look up, you know, one gift to give a friend. Okay, so that feels huge. Why can't I do that now? That's something that we've gotten really used to in internet browsing, especially on social media, ads targeted to us.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I would love to know what I did, why I'm getting so many ads for shapewear. I'm just like, why?
Sometimes it's just so rude.
It's
like
so rude.
They have assessed what your age is, and they're like, now is the time.
I keep getting shapewear. Maybe ever since my birthday, they're like, she's almost 40. Maybe she needs some shapewear.
It's so offensive.
Stay away from me.
Yeah. So now I'm like, wait, do I need shapewear? And I'm like,
that's how they get you, Jodi Ann.
Look, these ads are like a really mean mom, like, you know, maybe time for some shapewear. Like,
yeah.
Mom, like, mind your own business.
We know when we're talking about we care about consumers, you know, speaking to the skepticism, right? Anytime someone says you can opt out, my eyes are just rolling so much. I feel like it's going to get stuck back there because or is it going to be like those kind of labyrinthine like opt out cookies?
Yeah, I mean, because opt out isn't good enough, right? Because
opt-out
that requires every person to say affirmatively, do not do this to me.
Yes. Everyone knows that opt in is the approach that protects people, that protects the public, that protects consumers. Opt in, right? Mm-hmm. And so do I want targeted ads, right? All the data will show us that you'll probably get less people who are going to have targeted ads. The opt out thing is already like, I don't know, y'all. I really don't know how this is going to protect us.
It would be nice if that could be flipped legally.
Yeah.
It is more than we have now. So there's that. So they're proposing an opt out for targeted ads and also proposing this act to allow people to correct, delete, or export information that platforms have collected about them. Ugh. So I could say, hey, give me all the data you have on me. And it would also open up a way for people to sue businesses for violating any of these things. Companies have been allowed to do a lot with our data while politicians couldn't come to an agreement. So I'm sort of wondering, you know, where has this been over the past few years? Well, there hasn't been the priority, as you two were alluding to. And Cantwell told KUOW Soundside that she and McMorris Rogers spent years discussing this issue of data privacy. And let me point out, these are very, very different politicians, you know, sitting in a room together.
Yeah.
But their distrust of big tech for different reasons brought them together on this one. Mm-hmm. So do you think this could be a home run for U.S. lawmakers? I mean, we've been waiting for it, but these two say, okay, we hashed this out for years. Here's our plan.
You know, it's good, I guess. And I guess, you know, it might overall be a good thing. Washington State does have a record of being a little bit ahead of, on this topic in general. So I can see that both of them could be genuinely working on something that could improve our lives. But it is just like, again, suspicious that you know, when the TikTok thing came up in Congress, it was eerie how much bipartisanship there was on that. I didn't like it. I felt like, whoa, they didn't check in with us at all on this. Mm-hmm. And they're all, this is the one thing they come together on. All of these other things are going on that we need a lot more bipartisan work on. But for some reason, this issue, they're all, you know, so easily together that I find that very suspicious. It would be nice if it was just a nice, good thing. But considering all the other things they never work productively on, I'm very suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how to interpret this at all because I just don't understand how these legislators can constrain tech. Like, I've watched some of these congressional hearings and it just seems that they don't understand how a lot of these platforms even work. So I just don't know if within the language of this, like, what does this actually mean, especially since a lot of the algorithms are so opaque, right? Do we even know what we're legislating?
Earlier, you were saying you're comparing this to the moment where society took, you know, legislating like seatbelts and smoking more seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think we are increasingly going to come up on an era like that for the internet and digital devices and apps and stuff, because it's like, there was just a period of openness, like, I don't know, everybody try this, you know, Coca-Cola with real cocaine in it or whatever.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's like we have to see enough evidence as a society to be like, yo, we got to put some brakes on some of this stuff, like in a bad way.
We're seeing more urgency with the rise of AI, and we're seeing it with concerns about social media harming teen and youth mental health. So this has yet to be actually proposed, this act, but we'll follow it. And as always, the devil is in the details. Okay, on to our next topic. Good news for Seattle's many, many dog owners. The city is giving 5 new dog parks in the next few years. 3 of them were already planned in South Park, Georgetown, and right on Elliott Bay. And now the City Parks Department has approved 2 more in West Seattle and Rainier Valley. We need them. At least that's what dog owners have pleaded year over year. Dogs are a very big deal in Seattle. The 2021 census data shows dogs do outnumber children here by about 50,000. Yeah. Why does Seattle love dogs so much?
Way more affordable.
Way more affordable. You didn't even have to think about that.
And easier to manage, you know, in this tough capitalist world where you hardly have any time to even, like, get across the city to see a friend, usually. So it's like, you know, dog is easier. You just, like, have a dog at home and, you know, you don't have to make them do homework and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Way easier than a kid.
Mm-hmm. Kids are expensive and outside is expensive. And so being able to, like, be outside with a dog, that's, like, free. That's, like, free 2 hours. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just hanging out, true, chatting with folks.
Yeah.
I think dogs are also a big deal here because Seattleites are lonely and antisocial and single.
I love that. And I think you're onto something because I meet more people. Like, I know more of my neighbors. Yeah. Because I'm out there with my dog.
I have to say, when I see this dog park thing, the thing I feel bad about is, like, the people in Capitol Hill who still don't have a dog park. I mean, this is, like, a very dense part of the city, and there's no dog park for them, like, or off-leash kind of dog park for them. Right. And, I mean, it's arguable that no neighborhood in the city needs it more than them. I mean, these are poor dogs that live in apartments and stuff.
Right.
Like, where are they going to go? Right now, they're going to a lot of illegal spots, you know, where they shouldn't be running free. But, like, what else are these dogs and people going to do?
Volunteer Park at certain hours is basically unsanctioned dog park. So is Cal Anderson. Yeah. And that is a key element to this story. All these dog parks are off-leash. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hand-wringing about off-leash dog etiquette. And this is a perennial heated argument on Seattle's Reddit, up there with if you can put your trash in someone else's garbage bin. This one's up here, you know, dog etiquette.
Oh, my gosh.
The Seattle Times says demand for off-leash areas for dogs is exceeding the parks we have at the moment. We have 14.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get 5. But the last off-leash dog park that Seattle opened was Denny Park in 2018. Mm-hmm. So are dogs also victim to Seattle process? Or what's going on?
I mean, poor doggos.
I'm sure. But to be honest, I have a dog. I like having a dog. I've had a dog for 5 years. And I'm actually not a big fan of dog parks. I think dogs are generally chaotic and unsupervised. A lot of dog owners don't know what my dog is friendly, my dog is nice means.
Because
a lot of dogs who their owners swear up and down that
they're like,
still,
it's friendly, it's friendly.
Yeah, and your dog's not friendly. Uh-huh. Like, you don't know what your dog is doing. I've been in places where, you know, they're chatting with whoever they're chatting with and their dog's taking a poop somewhere. And I'm like, do you want to go pick that up?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so I think.
Yeah, you feel like you have to monitor the other owners.
This question of quote unquote illegal dog play areas is really complex, right? I don't think leaving your dog off leash in a park should be a crime, quote unquote. I've been to so many places where there's so many signs that say no dogs allowed. I just saw one at Discovery Park, and I was there, and there were like 6 dogs.
Oh yeah,
there.
Definitely.
Well, the thing is, like, we really need to, you know, build these parks out and really meet the demand, because if you don't. Yeah, like, people just aren't going to respect the rules, you know, in other areas where it's really important to not have dogs. Like, I'm pretty sure on most coastal areas and shorelines, you're not supposed to have your dog out without
a leash. Exactly.
And I see that all the time when I'm out on a walk, you know, tide pooling or whatever. You know, if we really want people to respect those rules more, we have to create spaces where there's just more opportunities for them to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think you have the rules and you have the rules on the books and you have the rules of the community, right? And so I live in Wallingford. There's a Wallingford play field. A bunch of dog owners, you know, myself included, have our dogs. We meet up, hang out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked earlier on Week in Review about like a 15-minute city. Mm-hmm. You know, I would love to keep going to the Wallingford play field. And maybe there's a little section of that area that, you know, we could have dogs there.
Let
maybe
your dog off, as like for sure.
robust as a dog park, but I love being in places that feel multi-use, that you know, you can acculturate your dogs to being around other dogs and children and people and not freak out because some kids are playing soccer or whatever.
I mean, to your points about letting them off leash elsewhere, the Seattle Times cited a 2017 report by Seattle's Parks Department and said about a fourth of dog owners admit to exercising their dogs in non-designated areas, like other trails and play areas. And I see this all the time.
Yeah.
But even off-leash dog parks aren't always 100% safe spaces for people or dogs. People have a lot of different definitions about what a well-behaved dog is, like you were saying, Jodi Ann, and that leads to conflict. Is it that we need to have higher standards for dog behavior and dog owners and training around here? Because there are international cities where people don't use leashes.
Yeah.
And it's fine because their dogs obey.
I would say yes. I do find dog owners myself. I mean, I'm a dog owner, so this
same
sounds
here,
absurd.
Same here.
I do find most dog owners to be completely obnoxious.
They just love their dog They're too like, much,
no,
like a child.
But not my dog. My dog would never do that.
It's so annoying because I would say my dog's perfect, and I'm a great dog owner. But other dogs and other dog owners are so obnoxious to me. Like, I go to coffee shops. I do not want to see your dog on the couch. Right?
No.
I was in a coffee shop. This guy had his golden retriever in the coffee shop about
taking up two seats.
He was talking to his friend about how he thinks his dog has fleas, and I'm like, bro, what are we doing? What are we doing? And so
no awareness.
Okay. And so I would love to see Seattle build itself out to be a little bit more dog friendly so we can train the humans on the rules of keeping dogs in public. Not all dogs can handle city life, and so be nice to, like,
that's true,
set some standards of, okay, my dog can be a cafe dog, or my dog can be an off-leash dog, or we just kind of walk around the neighborhood type of dog. And it'll be great to kind of support the humans and being able to support the dogs.
And I'll say, you know, if places that adopt dogs out would just require some training before you get the dog, I would take that. I would sign
love
up.
That.
Okay, one last thing before we go. Apple lovers, it is your time to shine because Washington State University wants you to give its WA64 apple a more catchy name. WA64 has been in development for over two decades at WSU. Mm. It's a hybrid of a Honeycrisp and a Cripps Pink Lady apple. This is WSU's first apple variety since the Cosmic Crisp was launched in 2019. Honeycrisp, Pink Lady, Cosmic Crisp, Red Delicious, Granny Smith. Why are these apple names so cute and goofy?
You know, I think we gotta, like, spice it up, you know? Like, you know, make it a little less grandma-y.
Okay.
You know, a little less 1930s.
You want this to be like, you know, a harder edge
apple? How about
apple?
Some like Eve's Revenge?
Eve's Revenge. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Or like, you know, Blushing Cougar, you know, represent.
Oh, yeah.
Represent. Okay, wait. Cougar Crisp, right?
Cougar Crisp. Yeah, because we have Cosmic Crisp. Honey Crisp.
Here's my vote. I actually submitted this. I wanted to test this out.
I did submit.
Yes. Oh, so cool. I encourage people to actually submit. They don't want you submitting too much. So then I was like, okay, let's be serious here. What would I actually send? I was thinking Sweet Tart, but part of their requirements is that it can't be trademarked. So I don't know if Sweet Tart's.
Yeah, that probably
that's
would
a
be hard.
Name.
Yeah, I think
that
Sweet
really
Tart,
matches the, like, ooh, Pink Lady, Sweet Tart.
Here's the flavor profile that they said. It pink-hued, firmly crisp, sweet, and tart. And so when I looked up the article that y'all had sent about this, it was published the day after the eclipse. I was like, what if we just name it Eclipse?
Just Eclipse. Just Eclipse.
Yeah, yeah.
Pie was made with some Eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, it sounds stylish.
I've submitted it already. Okay, so Eclipse is in.
I don't think they're going to call it a crispy lady, you know, honey crisp pink lady.
Oh, I had a dorky idea. It could be like
these good. Weren't dorky.
I can go dorkier. Okay. could be like good Eden, and then it's like when you're eating, you're like, wow, that's good Eden.
Well, that's good.
Oh my god, I'm obsessed.
I love that actually.
Wow. I'll withdraw my submission.
Okay. All right. Well, on good Eden, we are gonna leave it there. Jody,
good work, everyone.
Yeah, good work, everyone. We got this. Jody Ann Bury is an author and speaker, and Lex Vaughn is the editor-in-chief of The Needling. Thanks again, you two.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Seattle Now, and extra thanks to the generous listeners who support this show. Today's episode was produced by Vaughn Jones, who is actually in favor of the name Crispy Lady. It was edited by Caroline Chamberlain Gomez. Our production team also includes Claire McGrain, Andy Hurst, and Patricia Murphy. Greg Kramer does our theme music. Seattle Now and KUOW Public Radio are members of the NPR network. I'm Paige Browning. See you soon.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's Teen Dance Ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.